out for the next several weeks is a believer's response. A believer's response. And that might sound boring, but I promise it's not going to be. And you've got to hang with me today and let me lay some foundation work for you. But here's where it starts. We are to have a response. We're to have a response, but it's got to be a filtered response where we are saying what he says. And that we are being a reflection of him. And that we speak his truth and not our version of it. Amen, Pastor John. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And I just want to read you a little bit of commentary. Just listen to this. Persecution can cause either growth or bitterness in the Christian life. Your response determines the result. So two things can happen, at least two things. You can either be bitter, saying, God, where's this coming from? Or you can grow from it, understanding that God allowed it. In writing to Jewish believers struggling in the midst of their persecution, Peter encouraged them to conduct themselves courageously. Both their character and conduct must be above reproach. Having been born again to a living hope, they are to imitate the Holy One who has called them. You are a representation of Christ. You are a reflection of heaven on this earth. The fruit of that character, let me stop right there. He says that we are to, our character and our conduct is to be without reproach. And then it says this other word, fruit. Your character has fruit. Your conduct has fruit. The fruit of that character will be conduct rooted in submission. Citizens to government. Servants to masters, wives to husbands, husbands to wives, and Christians to one another. That says a mouthful right there. Do you know what submission is? Submission has a pretty simple definition. It's obedience when you don't understand. Submission. Obedience when you don't understand. It's also obedience when you don't agree. Only after submission is fully understood does Peter deal with the difficult area of suffering. In other words, you're not going to be able to suffer right till you submit to where it's coming from. That's why the Bible says this, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." We just got through singing, "Lord, refine us with your fire. Take away whatever you need to take away." But if he starts doing that, you've got to take the whole scripture. Don't think it's strange when this fiery trial comes upon you. It's got to come upon you so you can get the result. The result sounds great. To everybody. Everybody would love to just jump on the result train, not understanding that there's work that has to happen along the way. And flesh is involved, so it might be a little bit painful. We are actually to rejoice as partakers of the sufferings of Christ. That response to life is truly the pinnacle of one's submission to the good hand of God. Can you understand this? God's hand is good all the time. It's a good response. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1 through 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, in Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Not just grace and peace to you, multiplied grace and peace to you. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to need more than just a little grace, more than just a little peace. You need it multiplied. I think we're in that time right now. Could you just say, God, multiply your grace and peace to me? Multiply your grace and peace to me. He called them this. When he said, pilgrims of the dispersion, you understand that people had been scattered before the cause of Christ right there. And he called them pilgrims. Another word for pilgrims was sojourners. That you're on a journey in this world. But he called them this. He said that you're elect. He said you are sojourners. You are temporary residents. Temporary residents. Last week, I think it was last week, we talked about what it meant to be an ambassador. You remember that? There are ambassadors to the United States from various countries right now. But they're not here forever. They're here. There y'all are. There y'all went. Y'all, they are here as temporary residents. They're here for a short time. But while they are here, they are representative of their country. They're not here permanently, but they live according to the rule of the government that they came from. They represent the government that they came from. Do you understand that you are an ambassador of Christ? Wherever your feet touch, do you know that there is something like solemn? I can't remember the word. But wherever an ambassador's feet touch in this country, that's their country's land. Sovereign. Thank you. I had the saw right. I was close. Sovereign. Sovereign territory. We have a sovereign God, and that transfers down to us. Wherever our feet touch, we're on His ground. We're representing His government. We're representing a kingdom, and we're representing our King. Okay? I don't want to get too preachy yet. I want to teach you a little bit. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. These are songs that we sang this morning. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can you just say this? I'm kept. That should bring you a great deal of peace right now. I'm kept. I'm kept by God, by His power. I'm kept. That means I don't have to worry about everything. That means I don't have to worry about anything because I am kept by God. Just hang on. God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. I stood right there with cold chills. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, He says that we have been given an incorruptible, an inheritance that is incorruptible. And just like gold, it says this about gold, that even though it has been purified, at some point it still perishes. There's other scripture I've been preaching on Wednesday night that talks about Him paying the price for us, Jesus paying the price for our sins. It was an uncorruptible and a non-perishing payment was the blood of Jesus. It says that we were not bought with gold or silver, which can perish or which does perish. You were bought with precious blood that's incorruptible. Why? Because if the payment is gold or silver and it fades away, the guy who holds the note's going to be, well, you know what? That gold and silver that you paid with, it's gone. You owe me something else. But no one holds the payment because it's been paid in full with incorruptible blood that never passes away. So you have been bought and paid for permanently. Let's flip over to chapter 3. All of this is early work. Verse 8. This letter is from Peter. We got a talking Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. He's been getting us to in shape talking about submission. And he says this, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Now remember this. Let me go back to what I'm going to be talking about, the believer's response. So as you're getting to respond, because I can tell you this, as a believer, the questions are coming. If you get exposed to enough people out there, questions are coming. You need to have a response. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I promise you this is going to carry over into next week. Your tongue. We're going to talk about James 3, your tongue. Talked about it with my son and my little buddy last week while we were doing devotion. Last night when we were doing devotion. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. This is how you're going to be able to set the stage for your response. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You got to understand, you are kept by God. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you're still kept by God. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What a statement that is. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The word sanctify means to set apart Christ as Lord. So that's what we do. We set apart in our hearts, Christ is Lord. And we come back, Christ is Lord. And we have that peace about us, Christ is Lord. If they come yelling and screaming at you, Christ is Lord. What did I tell y'all last week? When they came to arrest Jesus with weapons, they came to him. It says he walked over to them. And he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what, sorry, that was worth a chuckle at least. Nazareth. Thank you, honey. She already chuckled for you, so you didn't have to. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And what happened? He knew who he was. And he knew even though they come with weapons, I am kept. And even when they came to kill him at different times, they could not even touch him. He's talking about his peace. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always, here's the thing. We're talking about a believer's response. So here we go. That was some background to get to this verse right here. Always, when? Always be ready to what? Give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness gets mistaken for weakness all the time. But you know what meekness actually is? It is strength under control. It means you could engage, but you don't because you have self-control. And that right there is a very evident picture of God in your life. And fear of the Lord, that you are on His bidding, and as an ambassador, you are capable to say what thus saith the Lord, not what thus say John. You understand what I'm saying right there? You don't have to be afraid to speak what the Lord says. With meekness and fear, verse 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So there are some that are going to suffer, but suffer for doing good, not for doing evil. Because if you suffer for doing evil, you deserve that. But if you suffer for doing good, God's going to bless that. So you're in line for a blessing either way, okay? I'm talking about you're in line for a blessing from God, that you can attain the blessing if you suffer correctly for God. I'm going to go on for more reading right here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And I know that this is a lot of reading, but I'm not going to hold you much past this reading. But I need to set the stage for next week, which I was truly burning for. But I hope this helps you understand. There is a believer's response, and we need to be ready to respond. Amen? Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or in other words, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. I am here. Jesus is here. The kingdom is here. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, also known as the sons of thunder, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. Or in other words, then the word of him and the word of what he was doing went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Okay? So at this point, everything is kind of like this. And the disciples are seeing it, and they're like, boy, here we go. Giddy up. This is the right I'm talking about. We're with the right one. And he's getting famous, and guess what? We are too. And we're right there in the pocket with him. That'd feel good, wouldn't it? But I kind of tell you that things started trending downward. Next chapter. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and he was seated. His disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And all of that was like, well, if those people come, I guess they're going to get something. Let me just say what that scripture right there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's not my job to feed you. It's not the pastor's job to feed the congregation. It's my job to make you hungry. Because if all you're getting is one meal a week for 29 minutes, because I stop at 29 minutes, just kidding. Do you understand? Creating a taste, creating hunger. Those that are hungry shall be filled and filled and filled and filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know what the believer's response is right there? You say what? The fleshly response is to retaliate. And what he is saying, it does not matter how they come against you. You've got a response that will glorify me and that will honor me, or you'll be by yourself in your flesh. Because this is what he says to do. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Turn quickly to... I'm sorry. Stay with me to verse 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, this is part of your identity. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Do you know the only way for salt to lose its saltiness? Water it down. I thought that hadn't sunk in. That took about 3 seconds to hit. The only way to water down, for salt to lose its saltiness is to water it down. Where's the word at right now in a lot of places? Verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set in a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. Which is stronger? Light. What does light do to darkness? It shatters it. You look outside in the evening, and you know what we always say? Well, it's getting dark. You know what we actually should say? The truth of it, the better way, the better perspective of, instead of saying it's getting dark, we should say light is leaving. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So he says, your salt, don't be watered down. And he says, your light, shine. And he doesn't just say shine. He says, so shine. That's an accent. Let your light so shine. Why is it that he would call me and call you to shine for him? Do you know what he's putting his confidence in? Not me or not you, but himself inside of us. Now flip. 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to be done with this one. Nobody said amen. If you're bored, say amen. Up. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. It's amazing how relevant this scripture is to right now. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I want you to tell yourself that right now. Talk to yourself. Speak His word. I am not crushed. I am not crushed. We are perplexed, yes, but not in despair. Can you say that? I'm not in despair. Let those words come out of your mouth this morning. I am not in despair. I am kept by God. Persecuted, but not forsaken. He stands there, as His word says, ready with a blessing for you. The disciples actually look forward to their next beating. Those jokers right there, they were on fire for God. When they were beaten and told, don't preach anymore in His name, they said, we can't help it. We're going to preach in His name. They were of a different mind. And He's saying, be of that mind. Be of that same mind. Struck down, but not destroyed. Can you just repeat that? I'm not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Go down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And I believe that's what I've been fighting and pushing through for weeks. This losing of heart. This heaviness. And I imagine most preachers and those who are preaching His word have had to press this point. Press this point. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can you just say this? It's more than about just me. Can you see what He describes it as? What we are he is mindful, and He sees it, but He puts it in proper context. He calls the affliction light. How about that? Our light, and then He calls it momentary. And you know what we're down here saying? God, this is heavy. When will it end? And He's saying, it's light and it's momentary. But God, it feels so heavy. And will it ever end? I still call it light and momentary. He says things that will contradict your flesh to get you in line with what His Spirit says. I have a blessing for you. Can you hold on just a minute? Can you pray for an hour with me? I'm telling you, what He's pulling out of you is not your flesh. And we give Him a flesh response when He's trying to pull Himself out of us. What did I tell you that He had confidence in? Not our flesh. We're the ones that have confidence in our flesh. He has no confidence in our flesh. And He tells us, have no confidence in your flesh. But His Spirit, which lives inside of you, if He can ever get that out of you. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight. I apologize if I have bored you. But what I'm about to break into next week, I'm telling you, this week it has changed something in my brain, in my mind. The Lord has shown me something. And I want you to understand, I work at exposing myself to the right voices. There are some people out there that are saying the right thing. And there's going to be a response that is demanded out of you. And you don't have to worry about it. There's this fear in the nation for believers. If I say this, I might lose that and all of that. Can I tell you what the enemy uses so perfectly against us is fear. And if we just flip back to what God's word said, he said, fear not. How is that? What kind of power are we giving the enemy when he comes at us with fear? And it's the very thing that the word of God said, fear not. Just about every time an angel ever showed up in the Bible, what was his first words? Fear not. Fear, don't be afraid. I'm kept by God. I'm kept by his word. Can you just say that? I'm kept. Kept by his word. And if we had to 4 o'clock today, I would preach this to you. I'm telling you, it's right there. I'm having to stuff it back in. It's like spaghetti noodles sticking out. It's trying to get out. I just want to regurgitate it. I just want to blah, all over you what the word is saying. But it is good. And the believer's response, it's not a place of timidity. It's a place of controlled strength. You have an answer, and it's inside of you, and he wants to get it out. His response. Amen. Will you just stand right now this morning? Will you ask God to just seal up this first part today? God, seal up this first part of this message series in our hearts, Lord. Seal it up in our heart. Jesus, be Lord in my heart. Jesus, I set you apart as Lord in my heart. Can you tell him that? I set you apart as Lord in my heart. Your word says that my heart is deceitful above all things. It needs a monitor. It needs a guard. It needs someone to watch over it. So God, Jesus, I set you apart as the Lord of my heart. So that my heart does not fail me. So when that things come up and many trials come my way, I don't question where you're at, Lord. I know where you're at. You're keeping my heart. And I don't have to be afraid, and I'm not going to be afraid. And I'm going to have confidence in you. And I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen.